Okay, so it's a possibility that that wasn't perfectly clear or easy to understand. So is there any questions that would help with that? Yes. Yes. What would be like a question you have about the sense of self?
Is it a good thing? Is it bad? Because we all have it.
Yeah. Sure. So I think it's kind of a question. I would put the question like this: like, what is a sense of self for? Yes. And then it's a sense of what is it good for? And then we're kind of seeing the positive in it. And then the other kind of question would be, and what is a sense of self not good for? You know, what's it not so useful for? So it kind of naturally arises, yes? And what we'll kind of notice in our practice is that if we have a sense of ownership of the body, and then we're like, yeah, this isn't me, this isn't mine, there's still like a sense of self doing this practice and noticing this thing, okay? So the sense of self is kind of automatically coming in whenever there's an experience. So when obviously it would make no sense to have a practice which is saying have no sense of self unless the practice was saying have no sense of experience. Okay? So the sense of self is our way of processing experience. But all experience is inconstant. It's all changing. Clinging on to things is dukkha. So clinging on to a sense of self that doesn't have fluidity, doesn't have a capacity to change, doesn't get seen, that, this isn't me, this isn't mine, is itself a kind of dukkha. And the practice that sees even the sense of self changes creates a kind of a relationship to the sense of self that starts to kind of tune us into more and more freedom. So, you know, a sense of self pops up when there's experience, and thankfully so. It helps us navigate experience, it helps us express ourselves. And then from that sense of self also grows a sense of personality. Yeah, like we can say, I have no sense of self, someone might say. It's like, that sounds like you. You know, that sounds like the kind of thing you would say. You know, it's like, okay, it goes there. It can travel there as well. So does that kind of clarified a little bit, or not really? Yes and no. Okay. So one other way we could say, like we said in the talk, when we feel really embarrassed, when we feel life is really difficult, or when we really kind of get very angry, or things like this, the sense of self gets very strong, right? And usually that leads us to in an unsatisfactory state, like an uncomfortable state, an unhappy state. And it often leads us to do things which are not so wise. Okay? Now, there are actions that need to happen in the world. And so actions that need to happen in the world will need a sense of self, will need a sense of the world, and will need a sense of what to do. Now, it's not that, you know, you can just lean back into a very soft and fluid sense of self all of the time and say, you know, do what you like to me, it really doesn't matter. Like, that wouldn't make sense. Like, we feel what really matters. We feel what is good actions and what are not wise and skillful actions, yes? And we need to have the authority to speak up in those moments, to act up, to act clearly in those moments, and to also, you know, kind of work on ourselves in ways and work on the world in ways. And they aren't always the same ways, yes? The way we treat ourselves often needs a lot more kindness. The way we treat others often needs a lot more kindness, and sometimes it needs clear boundaries, yeah? So it's much more fluid. And I think the Tsar is going to kind of touch on that in the talk tonight, of like how we bring these practices into the world. Because what we're teaching now is how to bring them into our direct experience on retreat. Yeah. So does that get closer to the question? Yeah. Thanks. Great. Hello.
What I find is quite helpful is actually getting to know the self.
Mm-hmm. So getting to know the self is helpful. Yeah.
Getting to know it. Well, what's going on there? What's reacting? What's why? What's not why? And then, not me, not why.
Okay, that's good. That's good, yeah. Yes, so what's interesting here, so what you're kind of suggesting is that there's the possibility of getting closer to the self, okay, and seeing the self. Now, what you may not have noticed is that what you're then kind of describing in the language of this exploration is already a not identification with the self. Because you are seeing the self, you know, and so our typical experience is I'm in this, yeah, this is self. So who is seeing this self? So it's already like a slightly separate sense of self, which is already implied in some way, this is not me, this is not mine. What are you? Yeah, so it's kind of there in that subtle level, and then that allows you to get closer to it, get more intimate to it, and it generates more space. And the really amazing thing about space and intimacy, I don't think we've really kind of spoken about this, but kind of just really to draw that out, is that more space allows more intimacy. You know, normally when we're in a like very close relationship with someone and they say, I need more space, we don't think, oh yes, because you want to get more intimate with me. We kind of take it means like rejection. But that there's more space and there's more intimacy. And then we get to explore, this is not me, this is not mine. In a way, this is just happening. And then that brings more space and more intimacy, and then we can stay with it even more.
The reason I wanted to mention it is because when I get used to say about myself, I am that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I am
this or that, yes.
It's such a strong belief about who I am, what I am.
Yes.
And the notion of actually looking at, there's certain things that happened in my life, and I became something, and now I'm looking at this thing, which is me, or I used to think of me.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
This is where it gets tricky.
Yes.
This is why I said to get to know myself, actually, it's something that happened, so I had certain parents, certain education, certain country, blah, 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 blah. I didn't choose none of it.
Yeah.
I chose.
Yeah.
It just happened.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, exactly. I mean, it's an unfolding process which we can be observant of and that we can overlook. It sounds like kind of what you're saying. And it's really skillful to look in that way because it also has that very clear sense in the way that you're describing your exploration that there's not a sense of rejection of it and that, you know, that this is not me, this is not mine, this is not myself, can kind of feel like it has a detachment to it when we kind of say it, and it feels a little bit final. But in a way, you know, kind of exploring that space and intimacy thing is like, this is a meta way of looking, and so we need to keep that meta alive. And it sounds like you found a good way of keeping that meta alive, that interest is like, so what is this, and what is this, and what is making this up? Before I kind of have a feeling of kicking it out, as not valid or something like this. So I think that's a really wise and skillful
and
way.
Towards others,
yeah.
I think that attitude,
yeah,
to be much more forgiving for interaction.
Lovely. Yeah. Perfect. So I just want to mention that there's if you asked for an interview with Zoha, she's doing some at 10:30 and it's now 10:30. So you might just want to check if she's put you down for that, or I think there was a note left for you anyway, if you did do that. Okay. Yes, sorry, so many hands. Yeah, I think we'll just try and go this way, and then I feel like I cover everyone. So we'll start with you. Yeah.
So what you say about your hair question,
yeah,
you talk about there is sometimes when it's need to be round boundaries.
Yes.
Boundaries.
Yes.
But what I felt right now in the emptiness.
Yes.
It's like right now there is no problem.
Okay, good. Yes.
But you talk about in the now it's retreat.
Yes.
And in the outside life, when it is contact with someone, there is need boundaries.
Yeah.
3 points. Continue.
Yeah, yeah. So we could say in retreat, we have purposefully made up, we've purposely fabricated, like retreat is empty, so we've fabricated an environment where we've kind of pre-selected lovely people to spend time around so that we can feel safe and we can feel open and we can let go of any sense of boundaries or of needing to create boundaries for other people. Yeah? If someone in the meditation is making a lot of noise or they're doing something that's irritating, then we purposely imagine, we can, oh, thank you, because I was off dreaming away and you've brought me back and here I am, back in the present moment. Thank you for encouraging me to be mindful. You know, thank you for showing me that I'm an emotional being that has all these kind of reactivity. So we can take everything really kind of positively. But sometimes, you know, people have had, for whatever reason, ways of relating and they're not in tune with themselves. They're not deeply in tune with their intentions. And they do things which are unwise, unskillful, and can cause really kind of serious harm to other human beings. If we're in contact with someone like that, it's really helpful that we're clear about our boundaries and we're clear about what's acceptable behavior for us. Yeah? Because that actually starts to generate the space for us to have a meaningful relationship. But it has to come from something that's very kind of clear, you know, in that way. So we have to kind of be clear about what is my boundary, yeah? What is healthy, what is helpful, everything like this. And then clear for them what is going to be skillful and useful behavior so that we can communicate. Yeah, like if they keep losing their temper and shouting at us, yeah, but I can't listen when you do that. But we can say that to them with metta, with kindness, with compassion. It's like, I don't hear anything you're saying. All I notice is that you're really like throwing things at me. Yeah, that's what it feels like. And we, you know, now we can't talk anymore. So let's go a step back and we'll come again. You know, but each relationship's really different and we have to kind of explore it on its own terms, in its own way. Yeah, but that's a great,
which
great question.
Which creates boundaries because it's your body. You know, like for me it was hard to understand what will be my motivation.
So honestly, I will come to you just a second. I just want to check that I'm finished here before it'll be hard for me to juggle. Yeah. Does that feel okay to go to that point? Yeah. All right. Thank you. Yeah. So the feeling that would only make sense if it is my body.
That you need to create boundaries when you meet other people.
Yeah.
And through the meditation, I also felt that when I'm saying to myself, it's not my body, so
yeah,
the pain is like gets more.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then I said it's really hard to have motivation to create boundaries when I'm not feeling that something, when I'm I'm welcoming, when it's my body, I own it, and that's why I want to make it boundaries when I meet other people.
Mm.
And also in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, a very, like, I felt it's a little tricky or dangerous to disconnect from our body.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So I think this is like, this really makes sense to kind of read this practice in this way, but it's also not what we're kind of looking for. So we're certainly not looking for disconnection from the body. We're not looking for abandoning the body. What we're actually looking for is that, is it true that this is my body? Yeah. Does it feel the most useful way of seeing this organism that looks after itself, that creates itself, and that has its own nature, that this is mine? You know, that kind of feeling of ownership starts to give that feeling of control. You know, if this were my body, then wouldn't you also say, okay, that's enough pain now, you know. Right, now back to...
Or stop aging.
Yeah, and stop aging, right, and stop hurting, and all of this kind of thing. So that doesn't really make sense. It's actually, we see, this body has almost like a life of its own. Yes? But we can participate in that life, much in the way that we can participate in a friend's life. Yeah? Like we can be a friend to our body. Okay? So outside of identification with or ownership of, we can see that possibly there's another relationship which has more metta. It has more friendliness, has more kindness. And that doesn't mean that we don't have a sense of this body having rights, in a sense, yeah? Like it has body rights, we could imagine, yeah? So we protect those body rights, yeah? People can't come up and just hit this body, you know? Is that good for the body? No. It's like, and is it good for them to be doing this? No. It's like, we have to help people to see, like, come on. Why do you want to do that? And sometimes we can't talk to those people. We can't communicate with those people. So we have to take this physical form away from that danger zone. Yeah? Until we can communicate with people, until we do encourage that. So in that sense, I think we really have to look after the body. We really have to care for the body. Just in the way we have to care for all bodies. You know, care for all of the world. In some way, I think it would be kind of just lovely if we felt an equality among bodies. You know, we happen to know this one really well and be able to speak for it really well in ways that other people can't. But we can care for it as much as we care for anything under the sun. Does that kind of clarify that view that we're aiming for? Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing. I'm going to actually come this way and then we'll... Okay, yes.
I can understand what you said
physically. Uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the body that I need to.
Yeah.
You know when I have a pain or mm-hmm. when I'm sad or happy.
Yes.
But other people cannot feel it.
No.
So who is the one who can feel the body that I need to,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in this exploration, we're taking this view that this is not me, this is not mine. We're not saying that there's nobody there feeling a sensation or anything like this, but we're actually just seeing, is this a view that brings more freedom, that brings more liberation, that brings more care and concern like this? So it really depends how you want to kind of navigate that. But in the emptiness view, it's neither that there is a self nor that there is not a self. Like, it's not taking a stance between these. So we go from a view where we feel very clearly there is a self, and then we do this practice, and it feels like what it's saying is there is not a self. And then we're like, well, who's here meditating? You know, who's here noticing this? And we're just, what we're actually seeing is we're not going to make... So what the Buddha was talking about with appropriate attention is that we're not going to go into that question. Like, we're just going to put that aside, because the answer to that question would either fix us on one side or the other of this self, not self. And the emptiness, which is the middle way between self and not self, is the way we go in, can I release the dukkha that is present in this experience? Is there dukkha in this way of looking? Or is there freedom in this way of looking? And so something somewhere is noticing experience, it seems. But anywhere that we look for it, we can't find it. So it doesn't exist in a way that we imagine it. And yet, somehow, we're here doing this exploration. And it can feel helpful. Helpful to who? That's not a relevant question. It can feel helpful. Okay, then I'll keep doing it. So that's kind of what the Buddhist teachings say about it. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Yes? Okay.
I personally found that in the beginning of the exercise, I had some aversion,
mm-hmm.
and also towards the aversion, I said, "Okay, not so."
Yeah. Great. Great. Yeah.
But then I just figured that it'd be more helpful to just relax the body and say it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really more helpful and brought more peace. So I kind of combined the method with this, and that was good.
Nice, that's very nice. Yeah.
And also I had two, like one of the conflicts.
Yeah. So if I understand it correctly, so it was you were having aversion to the practice of saying not me, not mine, or you were just feeling aversion anyway?
I was
just
both.
A bit of both, yeah. So then applying the practice on top of that, mm-hmm. which is already feeling aversive to the practice, probably wouldn't have been so skillful, and it may work in general at other times, but I think you were very wise to kind of come back, generate the metta, towards this is like, oh, you can actually be here and be really kind of clear about that and then go on with the practice.
And yeah. I thought also that if it's not mine, like you said, that things can change. So if it's not mine, I can change it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, like I had, when I had aversion, I wanted to say, okay, it's not mine. But then when I was feeling good, I didn't want to say it.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I wanted to ask about like relationships with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be more, also, I think I know the answer.
Okay.
Would it be helpful to view other people also as not solid beings, but like made out of parts and emotions and legs, arms, etc.
Yeah. It certainly can be. Was that your sense?
I think it can be as long as it involves metta with it.
Lovely. Yeah, that's
because
really nice.
It can turn to something aversive and like trying to say, okay, you're not a human being, you're just a set of parts.
Yeah, right, right. It affects the view of how we hold them. Yeah. A friend of mine also said that sometimes it can be helpful to have this kind of deconstructed view of the self, you know. So say, like, if we're angry with someone, like, are you angry with their body?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you angry with their vedana? With their perception, you know, with a thought they had, you know, with their sense of knowing, you know, okay, so, or is it, you know, is it that bit of their arm that you're really angry with? And we see, oh, actually, what am I angry with? I'm angry with my kind of idea of them or something like this. And it's like, okay, but that there's still maybe some work to do in that relationship and some clear speaking and some expression, but it just kind of lets off a little bit of the steam and adds a bit of humor that can kind of help us in the exploration. So, yeah, I think that's a really great question of, like, is it useful sometimes to view the other person as made up of parts, just as we can view ourselves in that way? We can view anything in that way. Yeah, lovely. Thanks. Yes?
I wanted to speak about the freedom.
Yeah.
So the self thinks freedom is very important.
Yes.
And now I'm facing in time of my life, I try to stop an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of good habits demanding me being controlled,
mm-hmm.
being a dictator of myself. And when I'm breaking good habits and take like the bad habits, let's say if I talk about pizza, okay?
Yeah.
And like I know I shouldn't eat pizza, it's not good for me, but it's like holding the horses. And there is a lot of feel of freedom when I say yes to the pizza because I feel like I'm revealing the revolution, like how to say it? I'm not sure.
Revolting?
Rebel.
Rebel, yeah, that's it. Yeah, thank you. Sorry.
I'm resisting better and I'm telling to myself, I'm doing what I want and you can't force me. Then
yeah.
It's a really good feeling, you know? I feel like maybe it's not less because then I'm shit, why I ate pizza again? I don't want to eat pizza anymore. But I feel, in a way, a lot of freedom. And I don't know exactly how to manage with this feeling because it does feel very good. I can't tell it's not.
Yeah.
And I feel my character is like a rebelling character. I like to break rules. I like to do what people are telling me not to, or what the rules say not to, and it comes also if the one, I'm the one who creates my boundaries, I like to break it, I enjoy it, and it's just kind of paradox feeling, because I'm doing something I don't want, and I'm enjoying to do something I don't want.
Yeah, lovely. I think you've expressed it really perfectly, and also expressed the real kind of difficulty with that, because there are many things that we do which are not really deeply helpful to us. Yeah, and we do them, and in the moment of doing them, they feel really good. Yeah, it feels really good. You know, and it happens to all of us all of the time, you know, like that moment of greed that kind of makes us want to go up and get some more of the really good bit of the food. And it's like, oh, I'm already full. And it's like, yeah, but it'd be really good. And it's kind of the mouth wants it, but the belly's like, I've had enough, you know, and we do it. And then afterwards, the belly lasts for a really long time with like, that wasn't good. That was not a smart move, you know. Yeah, you know, and it kind of goes on that way. So what we see over time is, can we pay attention to the whole of the process? It's like, right now, this feels, yeah, it feels good, it feels exciting and everything like this, but like, is that what I want? Is that what I really want? And we kind of have to be clear about that. It's like, it's difficult, you know, that we have this pattern, we have this sense of self which has the kind of the rebel, the indulging, the like, have what you want, you know, go crazy with life. And it's like, but what's the other side to that? Can we have the wisdom to kind of see, like, what's the impact of that on myself? What's the impact of that on others? And is that really, really what I want? And if it's not, we have to spend some time with, you know, kind of healthy remorse. You know, it's like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Like, instead of, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, actually, no, I really wish I hadn't done that. I think next time I'm really going to pay more attention to the fact that afterwards it's not so good, you know. Because that's what it sounded like, what you were describing in a way. It's like afterwards it doesn't feel so good. And, you know, the lasting happiness actually comes through kind of a deeper wisdom than following what feels exciting and thrilling in the moment. And, you know, maybe there'll be things which will be thrilling still, you know, approaching things that we're afraid of, or, you know, making ourselves vulnerable in situations we normally would feel afraid about. And those can be the thrills that we get. And they're also kind of in support of the wisdom that we want to see in the world, and the kindness and all the other qualities, connection. Yeah. But it's tricky, you know. I mean, we're changing habits this is the only way we know how to do so much, you know. So it's kind of going into unfamiliar territory, and if we, you know, do one or two of those a day, you know, one or two of those a week, you know, where we stretch and we don't do what we're familiar with, that's great. You know, if it becomes a pattern that we get rid of completely, totally, great. But even a little change here is good, and to be not expecting big changes too quickly. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yes.
I wanted to ask you about the reverse process, mm-hmm. because I find it very easy, like, to lose the sense of self, like, with concentration difficulties. You, like, find myself all over the place and mm-hmm. very losing the sense of self. So how do I go back, like, mm-hmm. putting everything together again, because the sense of self is very important, because it's the door.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go back?
So I mean, it appears to us at times that the sense of self disappears, you know, in that way. But then really there's that kind of sense of a self who is scattered, who is confused, or who doesn't know what they're doing. So that's the kind of sense of self that in that moment we can say, actually, this is not me, this is not mine. You know, also to this. Like, don't identify as that even. Like, it's not really that useful to even identify as that, because there are probably other times where we are focused. We know what we're doing. So we see, I can do either one. And right now I'm scattered, and what we're looking for is like what to do in that way that will kind of bring us back. And so what it sounds like you're asking is like, what would be useful to be clear about my intentions, to be clear about my actions? And so that really kind of depends what you want to do. And in any moment, you know, it could be different. Yeah, like, so we have to be clear about what our broad intention is for this life, and what is the next appropriate thing to do to support that. And so on retreat, what it typically would mean is like connecting to the body, because thank goodness, by some fluke of nature or whatever else, the mind can travel through time and space and fantasies and imagination, everything like this, but the body is always here. So we can always come back to the body. And in that spirit of the not me, not mine, we can just say, there is body. There is body. And we just come in and we just check in. It's not this is my body or anything like this. There is body. And that will bring us back in.
So it's the body and the situation, we have to...
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like, okay, and what is present right now? Yeah. So from that space, grounded in the body, what is present right now? Yeah. And what can I do with that? Like just the next small step. And then we just work with that. So it might be internally with the breath and the body, you know, making up a more comfortable space, getting more comfortable in the body, getting more comfortable in the breath. It might be affecting the thinking. You know, oh, what's the nature of the thinking going on now? You know, because that's also making up our experience. Like, can I encourage more metta into the thinking, or more compassion into the thinking? Or think of this person or this thing in a different way. You know, think of it as resolved. Or think of it, if it's a person, you know, think of it as hurting. You know, if we're having anger towards it. Or think of it as really quite doing quite well. See what's going well in it. Particularly if we're thinking about ourselves or someone we care about. You know, think about what's going well for that person. That can kind of like frame things a little bit easier. And as those kind of calm, we'll notice also perception changes, intention changes, attention changes. And we're slowing down the process, and then we can see it a bit more clearly, and that whole kind of scatteredness is kind of settled down into something we can work with and see the building blocks of experience, yeah, the building blocks to make it back up again into something helpful. Yeah, great question. Thanks. Hi. Yeah, come back.
So... we are practicing metta.
Yeah.
And trying to expanding our boundaries and feeling good towards ourselves and others.
Yes.
And now, like, we even spoke about, like, that how you, when you try to be something,
mm-hmm.
or to become or to feel something, you actually already a bit there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now we're speaking about not me,
mm-hmm.
not mine, and not identifying. And for my limited and narrow experience in mm-hmm. the meta practice,
mm-hmm.
I felt like it's kind of built in a way on this sense of self,
mm-hmm. yeah.
transformation. And so I wanted to ask, what is the meeting point?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. So basically, in the metta, we are playing with that range, as you rightly say, of like we're calling to mind someone who has this type of relationship to us. Yeah. So this is the kind of language that we use. But what we'll see is that over time, like if you do this metta practice for a very long time, yeah, like years maybe, then you might have had this kind of I think it's like an American phrase, my go-to difficult relationship. Like, so we're not ever thinking about a difficult person. Like, people are not difficult. It's the relationship that is difficult that we're interested in. And then all of a sudden it might just become, actually this person's not my difficult relationship anymore. Like, something has changed. Right, so they don't get no one is able to be fixed forever in one particular relationship. Like, maybe that relationship has become better, right? And it's no longer difficult. Or someone who used to be, you know, my easy person. Oh, that relationship has become difficult. So actually the sense of who they are does change over time. So we're calling to mind them and getting a sense of them as if they had some essence to them. But actually there isn't really an essence to them. There's just all of these kind of patterns, this kind of process of them.
I'm not speaking about them. I'm speaking about me.
Yeah, you also, wanting yeah.
To find compassion or to see the good part. So it's from my experience, I feel like it's all me wanting to identify myself subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that happened, like,
yep.
I want this hashtag. Or it's just like this wanting to be connected to your inner good parts,
mm-hmm.
the mental parts.
Yep.
In a way, might utilize. Maybe this is not a functioning process, what I'm describing, just my
yeah.
own process.
Yeah.
But might utilizing this self.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's what selves are useful for, yeah? Is for actions, is for instigations, is for aspirations, and all of this. Like, that's a skillful use of the sense of self, you know?
Yes, so it's skillful, because I was sure it's broken.
Okay, well...
because the meeting point didn't, like, between the meta
mm-hmm.
and that.
Mm-hmm.
I still found it like a bit problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't sound too problematic. It sounded like you were seeing it well and seeing it wisely and inquiring into it at the same time. So I think that's all great things. And yeah.
It's also all being include myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is one side of it, but there is another side of me wanting
yeah.
to be better.
Yeah.
And this is a bit more like sensitive,
yeah.
I would say.
So I think that we have to kind of discern between good things to want and not good things to want. Yeah, it's kind of like we've touched on it a couple of times around here, but actually kind of wanting to be in more of a meta mode with people is obviously, that's good for us, but it's also good for them. So we can kind of feel that that's supportive. You know, we can feel that if I want to be more wise so that I can be more kind and more gentle and more creative and more participating for the good of everyone, like we can feel, oh, that's a good intention.
I will share with you my concern.
Yeah.
It's only my concern. I'm afraid that by looking at this sense of self in a so pragmatic way of thinking, I might building good actions on not the right motives, and a better way of looking at myself, my intention, will be actually, you know, just destroying filters instead of building new ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a question, open question.
Yeah.
And I feel it's a bit dangerous and it sounds silly.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
wanting to be good or being. And this is also a challenge that I have with the meta practice in general,
mm-hmm.
from the beginning of this
mm-hmm.
degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what are your thoughts about it?
Yeah. So specifically about this practice now, we're looking in a way that sees that this is not me, that sees this is not mine. Okay, so it's just a way of looking at our experience. And then we see what happens when I look in this way. And we may notice, oh, I feel that if I don't have this way, I will feel this way. You know, if I don't have this mode, I will, you know, all the good things that I've kind of attached to me and my way of operating will fall away if I don't have this sense of identification. But then we have to experience, well, is that true? Because this sense of me, this sense of mine, isn't necessarily real. And if we look in this way and we find that it isn't, then what were all those good intentions and good qualities attached to? You know, and do I need this self, this sense of self, to be able to do good in the world? Is that really what it's necessary for? And then so we actually see that the fear is actually kind of cycling around something which may or may not be actually problematic. We're actually just fearing that it might be problematic. And maybe when we actually feel that we're doing good, we notice that the sense of self really goes quiet. Yeah, and then it pops in afterwards and said, oh, didn't I do good? You know. But in that moment when it's just flowing through us, it's coming from somewhere else and going somewhere else. But I think that's as much as we can say now, because there's still a couple of questions and people are already coming into the hall. But we can explore it later. Hi.
Like in the last year, I've experienced like so many different selves, like when you experience meditation. Even with people, even with like alone, sometimes you can feel like really spiritual. Sometimes that made me crack.
Yeah.
Because like it made me like so in the last month maybe like so many anxiety because I really really felt that there's really nothing there. Like it felt like there's really nothing there. And it's really like it can be like and it all like. Even though I knew intellectually in all this teaching and stuff like that, there was like something back to grab.
Mm-hmm.
What is real? What is the real self? What is the real me?
Yeah.
And especially after experiencing like better selves, you know? Like,
yeah, right.
Like more
right.
spacious selves. Like,
yeah.
So it's really, really difficult. And how do you not like cling, like to... How do you... Like I miss the flow... of the selves, you know, of the
mm-hmm.
changing selves.
Yeah.
And I feel like right now I have like an urge like to ask, to find, to I can try, I feel this urge comes up all the time, I'm trying like to really reject it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really, really great to see it in this way, and it's also very troubling, and it can be even very traumatic to kind of see this experience, yes?
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is that when you have an experience of a sense of self which is very spacious, very lovely and everything like this, then what knows that? There's like a sense of self knowing that sense of self, right? And then when you have that feeling of like, oh, I'm really like tied up, I don't know what to do, blah, 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 that's also known, right? There's also kind of a sense of self which knows that senses of selves change. And that's the kind of the resting place and the stability that's always... there is a sense of continuity for us that we can rest into and acknowledge that this is known. Like this sense of self is known. And it can know enormous space and it can know incredibly contracted modes.
But is it the... Thank you. But I want to also... Like, when you explore like the self, it's like also the personality changes.
Right.
Personality changes.
Personality changes, yeah.
So should we be fixed on our personality, or let it change? Let it like let it flow a little bit. Like I feel like someone where, because you know there's something like you need to have a stable personality. You need to have there's something like more I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I can debate between like a fixed personality or just like hey what the fuck, you know, just flow the flow it, like it's gonna change all the time. It changes people because
right.
if you're with like.
Changes
people
in relationship.
People from the Dharma, you speak in a certain way. If you're in people from the house, you have to speak in a different way because they don't understand this language. So
mm-hmm.
why are you fixed on like stupid questions?
Yeah, 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 yeah. So there's a number of things to kind of explore. So some of them is that there's this real kind of fluidity in the persona, you know, in the personality, and it's kind of a useful thing. And we see it kind of it actually almost takes care of itself. Like, it's not like we have to think, okay, now, change, persona, you, off, new one on. Like, it just flows and it changes. Different people turn up, and then suddenly persona changes, yeah? And all the time, it's just kind of constantly moving. And so it's something that we can explore and something that we can open to. But there also needs, for us, some of the time, some kind of feeling of grounding. Yeah, something that's kind of grounding in that. And that might be just the body. You know, it's like, oh, how does the body feel in this personality, in this persona? You know, we can kind of like get to know these experiences and get to know that they move and they pass. And finding our kind of skillful way of navigating that experience is a real dance. And, and finding what helps us to do that exploration. Getting all the support we need to do it, and also, you know, the time and the space for us to support ourselves to go through it. But yeah, but lovely to hear the wisdom and insights and seeing personality and sense of self flowing like that. Yeah. Okay, so we do the last one. Hey.
45 minutes of looking at the self.
Yeah.
Looking for a term.
Yeah.
Your term.
Nice.
So, as I understand anatta, there is no not-self, there is not a conscious self and a separate self.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a self, but it's continuing changing.
We're not taking a side of there being a self or there not being a self, mm-hmm. but that we notice that there's...
Okay, so the protocol of saying it's not me, it's not mine, not working for me at all. It's like, I don't believe it.
So mm-hmm.
I can't say it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to ask if there is something else I can say. The only thing that works for me is to see the non-self in objects, like in this wood panel. I can see that it's not a wood panel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tree, which is not a tree. It's a seed, which mm-hmm. is not a seed. It's the water, it's the cloud. I can see an object.
Yep.
But I can see it on myself so much.
Okay. So when you say that it's difficult, in what way is it difficult? And for...
I just don't believe it. I can't even say it's not me, it's not mine, I don't believe it at all.
Okay. And who doesn't believe it exactly? What is it?
Myself.
Right.
Yeah, so there is a self. So there is a self.
Is there? Okay, so from that perspective, this practice will be very difficult. You know, like if we're absolutely certain there is a self, then where is it, this self that you have right now? How do you know it? What is it? Where would you find it?
It's the thought, it's the emotions. So there is something.
Then what's it resting on? If all of these things change, are inconstant.
Yeah.
What's the self in or of?
So you're saying because the one time I succeed to work with, to understand fully anatta is when I work with anicca.
Okay.
I look at my body as it's changing every second.
Mm-hmm.
And then the vipassana of anatta arise, but it was one time mm-hmm. when I worked with anicca.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to work with anatta, not me, not ma, it's not working for me.
Yeah, sure. So it's certainly a practice that can benefit from a lot of kind of development, and it naturally unfolds from seeing the anicca of the body, anicca of the thoughts, anicca of the emotions, anicca of the self-sense. Yeah, all of that changes. Everything changes. And it can come out naturally from an expansion of the contraction practice of seeing that things are unable to bring lasting satisfaction. So we open around them. And we notice that the sense of self fades in that moment. So the sense of self is dependent on an object and dependent to some degree of clinging to that object. So a sense of self is to some degree a clinging onto something. And what happens when we open out around that? And so that can be kind of a way of then, from that opened out space, you can say, you know, for those for whom it works, we just drop in that this is anatta. Yeah. Or we naturally see it. This body is anatta. Yeah. But if you find other practices are working well for you, and there's plenty still to do, you don't have to adopt all of the practices which are offered. But, you know, that can be like the quick, like, 5-minute... Sorry, you had to wait so long. Response.
No, it's good. Do you think I need to, if I need to work for you to work with this?
I think that there are many, many ways to see it. And if you find something that's already working and feels like it has more depth and there's still, you know, practice potential in it, then definitely keep going with it. And it's a practice that goes a long, long way. And, you know, remaining open to this practice as well. And maybe dropping it in when it feels helpful, feels useful. Yeah, for sure. Right, thank you. Okay, so just in time for the silent meditation. If you feel like you need to swap the practice around and go for a walk, then obviously feel free to do that.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.